chapter 3, Gospel of John, chapter 3. If you're visiting with us here this morning, or maybe you've only been with us for the last few weeks or whatever, so you kind of know what we typically do. We typically do expositional sermon series, meaning we go verse by verse through different books of the Bible. Next week we will begin our study in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. So if you want to get ahead on some of your reading, you want to start reading the book of Galatians, and that will be our current study. I'm always happy on this last Sunday before New Year's, because it means I can be done with topical stuff, because I don't like doing topical stuff all that much. I'd much rather get into a book and go verse by verse. But, you know, sometimes with Christmas and then today, we kind of have to do that. So today, I really just want to share with you the prayer that I have for our little church, for this group of believers, both individually, but also collectively as a body. What I hope is our focus in 2024. Can you believe 2024? My God, the movies were all wrong. I mean, we were supposed to be flying in cars, going to space like nothing, everything, right? They're all wrong. But here we are embarking on 2024. And the thing is, those of us here today, right, and all our friends and loved ones that are not here this weekend because they're out traveling or whatever it might be, we all still have breath in our lungs, amen? And we all still have the energy to get up out of bed, amen? And that means God still has a purpose for us. God still has a plan for us, and God still has work for us to do. So as I think about that as our church, that God has sovereignly decided to put right here in the greater Fort Hood area with the intention of impacting the community here and spreading out from there and hopefully having an impact on the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I stop and I say, okay, what are the things I think that we need to be focused on in order to accomplish that? Now, I won't be able to go through an exhaustive list of all the things that we should be focused on, but today I think I can share three simple things that I believe we should be praying for in us. And we're not talking about praying that God will give us something or God will open a door, but things that we need to pray for us. Like, here's what we need to be praying for us, that we might then be able to do the work that God has called us to do. And so in John 3:30, I love this passage because we get a glimpse into what it looks like to be a messenger proclaiming Christ. And it's the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist has had this wonderful ministry. Thousands of people coming and being baptized by John and following John. He has his own disciples and his own teachers. People are following John. But Jesus comes on the scene. And John expects this. John says, I'm here to herald. I was not the light, but I came to proclaim the light. But all the people, some of the disciples around John start to question, hey, we're seeing our influence dwindle. We're seeing our attendance dwindle. We're seeing people coming, no longer coming to see you, John, but they're going to see this Jesus. What are we going to do about that? That's the question that they come to John. I'm not going to share his entire answer, but I am going to share what he said in verse 30. He said, therefore, because this Jesus has come, because he's the one that I proclaim, because he's the one that I was here to talk about, because he's the one that I was here to point to, because it wasn't about me, but it was about him, he says, therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. So he says, my purpose has been completed in watching Jesus accomplish what he's come to do. And then he says, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I think that begins the focus for us on where our heart needs to be as we go into this new year, as we go into these new opportunities that we have to be a difference maker, to bring about change, to be people who carry the message of God's glorious grace in Jesus Christ. I think it has to start with a similar devotion that John the Baptist had. Lord, I want to find my joy in you alone, and let me decrease that you might increase. We want to get out of the way. So why, by the way, this is why if you're new to us, we talk about this a lot. This is why we do some of the things that we do as far as the mission and service work that we do, that we try to go out and we try to find organizations and people that are doing great works for the glory of God. And we go in and say, how can we help you? Whether it's in support or whether it's in manpower, how can we help you accomplish that? We don't want our name on it. We don't want to take it over. We don't want the praise for it. We just want to see how can we mobilize our resources and our manpower to help you accomplish that God-glorifying mission in this area. Why? Because we want to decrease. We want Jesus to be magnified. And we can't have it both ways. We can't want to exalt Crestview and Jesus. Jesus doesn't share the stage like that. We're here to exalt him and him alone. So it begins with this idea that Jesus must increase and we must decrease. And so to that end, I want to make this prayer to you, if you will, as we begin this new year. And the first thing that I pray for myself and for you, individually and collectively, is that God would work in us to increase our love for him and decrease our love for others, other things. Decrease our idolatrous love, if you will. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes this to the church in Colossae. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And this is our call, right? God, would you work in me? This is not asking God to give me something. This is asking God to work on me. God, will you work in my heart that I have an ever-growing love for you and for your Son and for your Spirit above any love that I have for lesser things? Any love that I might have that might get in the way of my desiring more of you. I think that's the beginning of decreasing, that Christ might increase. Finding our ultimate hope and satisfaction in him, and watching everything else diminish. So that's the first prayer for us individually, for me, for you, and for this church. That, Lord, would you please increase our love for you, and decrease any idolatrous love that we might be holding on to. The next prayer is that would God increase our trust, our faithfulness, our ability to rely and trust on his promises, and decrease our trust in ourselves. And here's what I mean by that. We need to grow even more and more and more on our absolute dependence on Christ that we cannot even begin to entertain any idea that you and I have brought anything to the table before God. That I have come as an empty beggar before God, and I'm wholly and completely dependent upon Him to bring me to the end, not me. That I'm not in a performance-based relationship with God, but I have a faithful God who has sought me, who has bought me, who has made me His own, and has promised that He will complete the good work that He began in me. Not me trying to pick myself up by my own bootstraps, but if I will only finish the race so much as I am absolutely dependent upon God. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. This is my prayer for us. Is that we will only have something to offer those outside these walls if we ourselves understand that the only thing we have to offer is Jesus. People, you know, I've been accused of over the years. They say, you know, Scott, your sermons kind of always end in the same way. You get into the justification. You get into Christ's sacrifice and death. And I say, yes, because that's the only thing I have of any value to give. If we study and we preach and we delve into God's word and it doesn't lead us to the truth of the gospel, then we've missed the very point. And so our prayer, my prayer for us, is that we would, that God would increase our trust in Him and lessen our trust in ourselves. That all of us would come to the reality and to the knowledge and say, I brought nothing here. And I'm wholly dependent upon God. See, the gospel isn't God has now made you savable. The gospel isn't God has brought you to a certain point and now it's up to you to finish the rest. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is God is redeeming us and restoring us to Himself. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to suggest that those who have come to God through faith in Jesus Christ just can continue on in the way that they were before. That's contrary to what the scriptures say God is doing in those He has called, those He has redeemed. Amen? But nevertheless, even my obedience is a result of God's glorious grace and not something that I fixed up myself. So that's the prayer. God, would you increase our trust in your promises and decrease our trust in ourselves. And lastly, shortest sermon of the year. Here you go. God, would you increase our passion for your glory and decrease our passion for our own. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11 says, and it is my prayer, this is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What is Paul saying to the church in Philippi? Of all things, I want you to be consumed with a passion for God's glory. I want you to be consumed with making His name great. We have a perfect and glorious Father in heaven who has provided for us, get this, every single thing, everything you can ever think of that God demands from us, He provides for us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everything. And it's for His glory. That God's glory is manifested in His sacrificial love And we should be consumed with that as well. And how do we do that then? Then we are known as people who sacrificially love. And we don't look down our noses at others. We don't exalt ourselves as if we are glorious in and of ourselves. We don't look at people and say, well, if you just did what I did, you'd be okay. We don't look at that. But we seek to live like Christ, who for the sake of those who hated him, he went to the cross. For the sake of those who scorned him, he went to the cross. That's how we glorify God. That's how we become consumed with the glory of God. To say, Lord, can you use me? Can you use me to bring true love, compassion, mercy, and grace to a lost and dying world? Last prayer. And this is a dangerous, dangerous prayer. And sometimes I'm not even sure, like, I've wanted to cry out this prayer so many times, but if I'm just honest, sometimes I'm like, whew, I don't know if I'm ready. But here's the last prayer. God, will you use us as you see fit? God, will you use us as you see fit? What that means is, the prayer is that we would be an absolute open book to God. And that we would seek to be obedient to His call. And whatever He calls for us to do, to be, to give, to say, that we will be obedient. That's a scary prayer, by the way. Just go through church history and find the many people who have, in a sense, said, God, use me as you see fit. And I'm going to tell you, if you go through church history, what you're going to find, it is not usually living in mansions. Not usually living in comfort and ease. It usually comes with persecution and hardship and abandonment. And that's where we say, as John the Baptist, oh, my joy is complete in the Lord. I must decrease that He might increase. So that's my prayer for me, for you, for this body, that God would increase all these things. That He increase the Lord Jesus in my life and through my life and decrease me. I hope you join me in that. And I'm excited to see what God will do with this small group of believers in just a little part of Texas. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much. And Father, we do pray that you would work these things in us. Oh, Lord, would you use us as a church, as individual believers, as all these things to bring Jesus to a lost and dying world, to be messengers of your grace, to be messengers of your love. Lord, but we need you to move us out of the way. And so we ask for your help by your Spirit. And we know that is your will, for that's what you've declared in your word. So we ask that for us, and we ask in the most holy name of Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer this morning,